and I entitled it Liar, Liar. And the goal of this series is for us to become more honest in our relationships with God, with each other, and even with ourselves. And so if you've turned with me to John chapter 8, I'd like to ask you to stand. And if not, I'd still like to ask you to stand, as together we're going to read from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And as each of us are standing, we are standing and we are determining that we are committing ourselves to be more honest to God and more honest with God, that we're going to be honest with each other, we're going to be honest with ourselves. It's here that Christ is talking to a group of people who believed in him. And he said, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful and honest and truthful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now the people there responded by saying, "But we are the descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you have now been made, and you now are truly free." I'd like you to put your Bibles down for just a moment, and I'd like to hold this Bible up for each of you. I'd like for you to take your left hand and just go with me today and practice your faith. Pretend as if as you reach your left hand out that you are laying your hand on the Word of God. Now take your right hand and repeat after me. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So God, help me remember the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Person?
Not really.
Do you consider yourself to be an honest person?
Yeah, definitely.
I guess I think I'm not an honest person.
I try to be. Yes. Sometimes I can be honest and sometimes I can't. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think it captures a great deal of truth in the way that people really live their lives. As I was preparing for this morning, I couldn't help but think how neat it would be if we all had this little scoreboard on our shoulder. And you literally knew how often people were telling you the truth. What I don't understand is how the lady came up with 47%. I love those kind of people, don't you? I want us to go to the playground. How many of you know that a lot of things in life you learn from the playground? Not all good, but not all bad. I want us to go to the playground, and I want us to revisit one of those childhood games called Red Light, Green Light. How many of you are in? You remember Red Light, Green Light. I loved Red Light, Green Light because it slowed the faster runners down. I was not fast as a child. I would weigh in at the heavyweight division back then as a kid, and I hated any physical activity that I had to live out in front of everyone because I felt like it brought way too much attention to me. But I love this game because I'm a fast thinker. I don't talk much, but I'm a fast thinker. And so I love this game because I kind of had this intuitiveness to know when they were going to say red light and green light, and I often won this game. How many of you know you like things more in life when you win them? It's not all about winning and losing. It's how you play the game. It's about winning. And learning not to cry when you lose in front of all your friends. And we're playing red light, green light. And do you remember the premise of the game was to go from point A as fast as you could to point B? And the first person that crossed point B's line, they were the winner. The rules were very simple. Someone would be in charge and they'd say, green light. And what would happen? Run. Everybody would run. And then what would happen if they said red light? What was supposed to happen? Stop. Now, what happened if you kept running? You're out of the game. How many of you are at the playground living out red light, green light? We're going to take about 10 of you out to the parking lot, and we're going to videotape this little game in action. I was thinking about how, wouldn't it be neat in life if we all wore a red light or a green light on our shoulder? And that red light and that green light told the person talking to us whether we were telling the truth, and we could go ahead and trust that person. Or if the red light came on, we would know, don't go there. Stop! Stop before you share too much of your life, because there's a likelihood that part of your life is going to be rebroadcast in the scheme of life. Red light, green light. I think honesty's a lot like that. I think honesty and truth-telling and knowing the truth is the equivalent of getting a green light in your life and running with freedom. I think, however, when we choose not to tell the truth, when we share part of the truth, a half-truth, and nothing that looks close to the truth, I think that's like a red light to us. I think we stop growing. I think we stop growing as adults. I think we stop growing as individuals. I think we stop growing in our relationships. Because all relationships are dependent on trust. And a lack of truth always eats away at the trust. I've met people that have been married all their life, and they're 50, 60 years old, and there's not trust enough there for them to be free with how they feel, what they feel, and how they look at life. You see, I think even though we don't play that game on the playground like some of our kids do, I think we still play a version of red light, green light in our lives. And we play that when we determine whether or not we're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I found in my life when I'm not completely truthful, I stop in that area of your, in that area of my life, and I have to remember what I've said and who I've told. If you get off a phone call and you're trying to remember what you said, you might be in trouble. When you have to keep up with who you've told with what you've said, you're in more trouble. Because you're in big, big trouble if those people start telling what you've told. Especially when it's not really close to the truth, but it's opinion or impression or a fear or a thought. You see, some of us in life are not free. And we kind of point to all these other things that we think are keeping us from being free. We think it's our parents' fault. We think it's our children's fault. We think it's our boss's fault. We think it's our in-laws' fault. We think it's our circumstances' fault. And we're frustrated in life because it doesn't seem like we're really getting much out of life. It doesn't seem like we're getting really much out of relationships. It seems like we're just kind of surviving instead of thriving. I mean, we have relationships and we know people, But people kind of tend to keep us at arm's length. Could it be that not having freedom is not as mysterious as we've made it? Could it be that you and I lack freedom in our life because we have decided we are going to hide some things and keep some things in the dark? We're not going to be completely honest with ourselves. We're not going to be really honest with God. We're not going to be honest with our mate. We're not going to be honest with our kids. We're not going to be honest with our coworkers. We're just really not going to be honest. And could it be that lack of honesty that has kept us from being free? And could it be that we've spent our entire life blaming everything and everyone else when in reality, we've just not been willing to know the truth? And so we live with an absence of truth. If indeed Scripture says, and it does, that knowing and telling the truth will make you free, then we should stop and think about the fact that when we don't tell the truth, then we're not going to be free. And wherever we're not in truth-telling relationships, that area is going to have authority over us. That's the thing that can come back and bite us. One of the wonderful things I love about my wife is that she has learned the fine art of listening. Me? Not so much. If I haven't heard my voice in a little while, I'm thinking something's really wrong. It's like a DEFCON 3 alert goes off in me. Ink, ink, ink. And I stop and I get a hold of myself. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard my voice in a while. And then I hear it and suddenly, comfort. I feel good again. Ah, there's that voice again. My children don't have that same feeling. They don't share that same sentiment. That after a while to them, I'm sure it's more like, there's that voice again. Where's the off button, Mommy? And Mommy looks at the girls and says, I don't know, baby. I've been married to that thing for 20 plus years and I haven't found it yet. Here's the deal. I borrowed from my life to talk to you about your life. Every one of us has a little internal voice. And that little voice gives us impressions. Have you noticed that? It tells us little things. It warns us of little things. Sometimes it sounds a little bit like our praying mama's voice. We start to do one thing in our life, and it sounds like mama's voice comes on the inside of us, and it sounds like mama's going, How many of you know about that little voice? See, I think that little voice clicks on, and it says things like, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't repeat that. I wouldn't listen to that. I wouldn't stand for that in my life. And yet, all too often, guess what we do? We don't hit the off switch to that voice, or we hit the off switch to that voice, and we stop listening to it. So we listen to things, and then we repeat things that cost us our freedom. I want you to understand that knowing the truth, the truth that gives you freedom in life, the freedom that brings you peace and causes you to find your purpose in life so that when you wake up in the morning, you feel like you have a life instead of life having you. I want you to hear me say this. It's not just in telling the truth. It's not just in the power of what you say. It's in what you choose to listen to. Ever not know someone? I mean, really know someone? And they sit across from you in church? And you've gathered some conclusions based on what you think about that someone. Now, you don't know that someone, but you've been doing research based on what you can see. And then someone totally different come up to you and tell you something about them that you don't know is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. But what they just told you makes you look at them in a whole different way. Well, that explains the sad face I've been seeing. I noticed Dina's not sitting close to Pastor Greg anymore. You see, friend, you have to understand that truth is more than what you tell. It's what you listen to. And a result of having truth in your life is freedom. You have a standard in life that's full of peace, full of joy, and full of happiness. I want you to find three people right now, and I want you to tell them this powerful truth in life. Here's the truth. It's not my problem. Try that, but let's practice first. This is going to be a stretch for some of us. In a moment, you're going to find three people, and you're going to tell them what? Try it again. See, there's something in all of us. Now, don't go practicing yet. There's something in all of us that has an appetite not to really get the facts, not to really walk in the truth. There's something in all of us that has an appetite to hear a little gossip and to spread a little gossip, to share a little truth, hear truth, there truth, everywhere, just a little bit of truth. Not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but just a little truth. See, there's this lady in the Bible, we'll call her Eve. She was the first woman ever to be born by the hand of God. God created her and called her. And she had a husband. His name was Adam. Adam and Eve are in God's presence. They are in a perfect place. They are living the dream. They are the purpose-driven marriage. They've got the book. They've got the little leather personal journal. They have the little daily devotion. And I mean, they're happy. It's all good. They're living in the truth. The truth's living in them. They are free. And then one day, Mr. Snake, El Diablo, the Satan, he arrives on the scene and he shares a part of the truth. Not the whole truth, not nothing but the truth, but just a little bit of the truth. See, that's what we do is we live in a little bit of the truth. We share a little bit of the truth. We listen to a little bit of the truth. And every time we choose to stay in just the part and not the whole, it costs us our freedom. It costs us our peace. It costs us our happiness. It costs us in our relationship and our intimacy with God. And not just with God, with others and with ourselves. Satan comes in the form of a serpent, and he whispers just a little bit of truth with a whole lot of lie wrapped up in it. She listens to it. She fixes an apple pie. She gives him a bite, him being not the Satan serpent, but her husband. And you know, most of you know the story. What happens? What happens? She takes a bite of the apple. She eats from the tree of life, the part that God said, don't go there. Don't go there. She does that. She insists on going there. She goes past that voice, that internal voice of God that says, don't go there. She goes there. She takes a bite of the apple. She gives it to her husband. What happens to him? This is studio participation part. What happens? Their eyes are opened. They become spiritually dead. There's curses brought upon their life. They're distanced from God. Excuse me? They were cast out of Eden. This is what I want you to recognize. When you listen to just part of the truth, when you just share part of the truth, when you just walk in something less than the truth, these are all the things that happen in your life. It has a great effect on your life. It puts you at a distance away from God. It costs you your blessing. You live under a type of curse. You daily live outside not just the presence of God, but the provision of God. Do you know God's greatest provision is not always money? That sometimes His greatest provision is your peace. Your love. Your joy. Your healing. This whole month, its subject's been about freedom. Freedom in our physical bodies. Freedom in our emotions. Freedom in our relationships. A number of us sit here today and we need a healing in parts of us that you can't put a cast around. It's something broken on the inside of us. It's something lacking on the inside of us. And friend, I'm telling you that when truth is present, you lack nothing. You are free. It's not the truth that hurts us. It's all the little lies that we have to buy into and believe in order to keep that in our life. Webster says that truth is fact or actuality. It's the real state of affairs. That it's a statement that is or is accepted as being true. Whereas he says that truth is the state of being truthful and honesty, he says that lies means to give a false impression or a false characteristic, trait, or feature resulting from some influence. That a lie is a false effect. It's a false alteration. It's a false improvement. He gives us an example. It's an imprint of teeth. Whenever there's something in your life that you're not walking in truth in, there's an imprint of teeth. I remember one time my sister went and told my mom that I was picking on her and that I was hurting her. And I told my mom up and down I had not done that. And my sister, being the evil sister that she was and is to come, she said, "I can prove it." She had taken her arm and she bit it. And she said, here's Greg's teeth where it left marks on my arm. I couldn't believe that. I didn't believe that because I knew the truth. And my mama was about to give me some blessed assurance with a fly swatter. We were old school. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It doesn't exactly say that in the Old Testament, but my dad somehow got it out of the Greek, the Hebrew, the Chaldean, and I lived in Flora Vista, New Mexico, so the Flora Vistian version. And just before my mom began to encourage me with discipline, something came out of my mouth. It was the truth. I screamed, "Mom, check the teeth marks. They're not mine." You never know where wisdom will show up. You don't expect that out of a six-year-old. And my mom looked, and she was like, "Uh-huh." So Clausto had to know. So she went over there, and she said, "Honey, let me see your teeth." And so I put them down on my sister's arm, and they didn't match up. So my sister got two spankings that day. I can honestly say that was when I became a praise and worshiper of Jesus. I was in the other room thanking God. Take the teeth thing. Think. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. How many of you are at least going to remember that? Nothing else but that. Some of you are like, "What happened to church today?" After the scripture, it all went. So here's the deal. Here's what I want you to get indelibly in your heart is you've got to do some checking before you just swallow anything the devil says or anybody else says. You need to do some checking. You need to check on those teeth marks. You need to see in what area of your life you are not free and look for Satan's chopper mark. He's been there. He's bitten into that part of your life, and he is still there with an authority and an influence and an effect, and he has an ability over you, and it's through a lie and a partial truth that he has authority in and over you. Some would say that telling the truth isn't always that important, that it's overrated, or that telling a white lie never hurt anybody. But Christ said that knowing and telling the truth is the difference between living free or continuing to live in and with baggage and the bondage of sin. Truth is so key. And as you grow in the Lord, one of the disciplines that I want you to grow in is learning what is your problem and what isn't your problem. Have you found, like we have found, that life all by itself at the Thurstonson household is filled with many challenges? Do you have challenges in your life? I've never understood then why people would want to go out and make other people's problems and other people's business, and their problem. I've never understood that. I don't get how that's when you get with them, that's what they want to talk about. Well, I noticed old Bill sitting on the front row, and Bill had both elbows on his knees, and he was hunched over, and I just don't think Bill's feeling okay. And Tamara, did you notice where she smiled in the sermon today? Something's not right between Tamara and Pastor Greg. I could just tell. This is one I love, True Confessions of a Pastor. Someone who is not committed to the Lord or to the church who comes and tells me, there's a different spirit in the church right now, Pastor. I can't put my finger on it. Can't put my hand on it. Something's wrong. You know what I want to tell them? I can put my finger on it. I can put my hand on it. It's right there. It's you. I mean, not you. I mean you. Okay, I've got a little extra energy today. I can see that. This is why I'm trying to teach you. It's not my problem. Sometimes we lose all of our freedom and all of our peace and all of our joy and our intimacy with God, with our church, and with each other because we're busy in everybody's business and we're making everybody's problem our problem. I could become another person over this subject. Have you noticed? I want you to find three people and tell them, hey, relax. It's not your problem. You got 3 seconds to tell three people that. Go. How many of you are enjoying this sermon? Not so much for you, but for about 3 people in the church you know this is for. You've been praying, you've been fasting, and finally, Pastor preached a sermon based on what you've been praying. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about the 3 categories of liars. There are the category of the little white liars. The little white liars are those who, when asked, do these jeans make me look fat? The person thinks yes, but instead they answer and say, no, you look great. Little white liars are those who often stretch the truth just a little to get a job, to impress someone, or to keep from hurting someone's feelings. The second category of liar is the frequent flyer liar. These are the high rollers and legends in their own mind. These are those that frequently exaggerate things to make themselves look good. Then there's this third category, the habitual liar. These are those who lie about everything, even when the truth would be less painful. Red and yellow, black and white, all lies are precious in their sight. Their life is a complex, complicated mess because they've lied so much to so many, they can't remember the truth. Addicted to dishonesty, they have to keep on lying to keep from frying. They are masters at spinning what they say and what they've said. As hard as it is to admit, we've all been known to exaggerate the truth. Occasionally, I believe we avoid telling the whole truth in fear that it would get us in trouble, hurt someone's feelings, or cause us to have to deal with some painful circumstances or consequences. Now, as a pastor, I can't even begin to tell you how many times someone has come to me in confidence and began to share with me a dark, deep secret in their life. And it's generally that deep and that dark because it's been rooted in some form of deception that they've been hiding from God, from others, and from themselves. I found in that moment of their honesty, in that moment of trust, when they finally have the courage to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, it's then and only then that they find the help of God and experience freedom. I want to close today by looking at the statement for a moment, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's an oath that's made in court before a witness is due to testify or to give evidence. Usually sworn in on a Bible or some holy item, the idea is that once the witness has taken this oath, they must tell the truth or be struck down by the righteous wrath of God, or in the very least, be charged with perjury. But have you ever asked yourself, why is the phrase so long? Isn't saying the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth just a little bit redundant? After doing a little bit of research, I've come up with a couple of different theories. These are not facts, these are just two speculations. Number one, I think sometimes they do this for repetition, because repetition brings emphasis. Presumably, the more times the truth is mentioned, the more likely the importance of the matter that has been conveyed. Rather than say, I swear to tell the truth, the witness has to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You see, the repetition of it gives the oath more weight in the eyes of those testifying, and it makes it sound a lot more important. Speculation number two. Perhaps they use this because there are different types of truth. This is the idea that the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth brings to the table. Straightforwardly, the truth is simply what the definition says. It's the correct information as far as you are aware. Secondly, the whole truth. The whole truth is different than this because although this phrase still refers to the correct information of the truth, the word whole means that nothing is omitted. I've talked to people before and knew that they weren't being completely honest. After the conversation was finished, I would ask them about it. And they would kind of come across like, well, I told the truth. I just didn't tell the things they weren't asking for. The whole truth brings to the awareness of the court and the one testifying that this is everything, nothing's been omitted. Finally, nothing but the truth refers to opinion based on truth. Unfortunately, I believe that way too many of us as believers live out and leave out some of the truth in our lives. We're Christians on Sunday, but our lives look like unbelievers on Monday. We have serious struggles in our marriages, serious struggles in our families, serious struggles in the way that we handle money. We tend to, behind closed doors and away from the church, be mean-spirited. We gossip, we deal with deep-rooted resentment and bitterness, and we live with life-altering addictions. That's why this month has been so key. It's time for us to experience the freedom that only comes in truth. The truth of Jesus Christ. It's then and only then that Christ can alter the life-altering addictions in our life. I think many spend more of their energy to bury their secrets in lies and hope and pray that nothing comes to light. In essence, we live a lie. We may walk through life and act like we tell the truth and that we're truth tellers, and yet everything about the way we live is a false impression, or as Webster says, a false impression is a lie. So what does it matter? What's the difference between the categories of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Can I be honest with you? Honestly, nothing. I think God hates all, period. All lying, period. I think he hates it all. Proverbs 12 says in verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. In Proverbs 6 and 16, it says that there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Notice it says haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. Notice that of the seven things that God hates, two have to deal with lying. How much does God hate lying? The Hebrew for this word, detests, is toiba, which literally means something disgusting. It's an abhorrence. It's something nauseating. Lying lips, lying hearts, lying lives, in essence, makes God want to vomit. So here's where we seal the deal. Here's where we come to the realization of the truth. The truth is not hard. The truth is what liberates us and frees us. It's what we choose to do or not do with this truth. I close by reading why God hates lying so much. In John 8 and 42, he says to that group of people, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language, the language of truth, not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear, and in some cases unwilling to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil." Ouch. "You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me?" Simply put, why does God hate lying? Because lying is sin. And it separates us from God, our Father. Scripture here says that we turn to a different Father for his help. And that when we turn to him for his help and we live in untruth or part of the truth, we begin to speak Satan's native tongue. Tough words, but words filled with truth that bring about freedom. I'm going to ask each of you to activate the truth in you by first standing to your feet. This is one of those messages that you and I get to go home and determine whether we live this out. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You and I have a personal invitation from him to go to our Heavenly Father. But he says, the way to get to my Father is through me. And the way to get through me is to be honest, to know the truth, and to tell the truth. So I'd like for each and every one of us to give not only our heart to our Heavenly Father, but how about our lips to our Heavenly Father? I'd like to ask each and every one of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're into the action step. This is a discipline that from this point on, for the rest of your life, you can practice every morning when you get up. In the morning when you get up, I want you to just begin to pray and say, "Good morning, Father." And with that good morning, I want you to promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So ask him for help in that process. Just where you're standing right now, just introduce yourself to your Heavenly Father. Just commit to him that you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then once you commit to that, ask him for his help. You're going to need his help to do this. Being dishonest and being deceitful comes very easy to us. Being truthful, being honest to God, with ourselves and with others, is a little more difficult. So ask God to help you. Help me, Lord. Maybe you're standing there and you're saying, "But Pastor Greg, I've not been very honest." Then you're in the safest place you could ever be. And that is being honest with God and telling him that. Ask God to forgive you. Ask him right now. Tell him you've got a forked tongue. Ask him to forgive you for not being honest. Not honest with him and not honest with others. And not honest with yourself. Just ask him to forgive you. Some of you are standing, and this is perhaps the first time you've ever talked to God the Father. Maybe this is the first time you've ever talked to the Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. Maybe even as you're standing, you're giving your heart to Him for the first time. If that's you, then I want to invite you to come back and join us in the journey. I want you to come back next Sunday morning. But before next Sunday morning's coming back, I want you to come back to the cafe after the service. And I want you to come introduce yourself to me personally. And I want you to tell me, I began my journey with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior this morning. And then I want you to tell me, I got to be honest with you, it's the greatest thing I ever experienced in my whole life. How many of you gave your heart to the Lord this morning? Let me hear your amen. There's three of us today. The rest of us are perishing. How many of you this morning took some time during that prayer time and you said, God, I give you my heart and I give you my lips and I commit to being honest? So here's how we're going to leave. I want you to find three people on the way out and tell them, I got to be honest with you. I'm starving. On your mark, get set. God bless you and go.